Hello, podcast listeners. You are now listening to the Lifebook Member Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan River, and I want to thank you for tuning in today. On with the belief clearings. Loving the belief clearings with Lion Goodman. How are you doing, Lion?
I am great and so happy to be here.
Yeah, man. Character. Really, really interesting. Honestly, one of my favorite categories, maybe my favorite category, because you take a look at the Lifebook process and, you know, people are into personal development. People are into self-betterment, self-help. And let's just, I would say that health and fitness is number one. You can go get a lot of health and fitness books. A lot of people are looking to improve their health and fitness. Spirituality is another big one. Maybe you'll get a little deeper and, intellectual, better yourself intellectually. But very, very few programs talk about character traits and cultivating them. Have you found that to be the case too, Lion?
I have. I've been studying what I call the virtues for, decades, I think.
Right.
So I learned about Benjamin Franklin's work in elementary school. That got me interested back in elementary school, and I've had my eye on it forever. So I've actually been collecting virtues, and I've got a list of 650 of them.
That's incredible. Are those available? You should post those on your website.
Yeah, actually, I'm going to set up a way for your listeners to get a copy.
Great. That's fantastic. I love that you've been compiling them like that. And that's half of the equation is cultivating, well, first of all, recognizing the virtues that you do have and cultivating those virtues, and then staying away from the opposite, right? What's the opposite of virtue? Vice or?
Vices, right? Mm. Vices are what I call the shadow. Because vices can sometimes be virtues in particular situations, and a virtue that's gone to excess can become a vice. So
They're
very, very interesting combination and interlacing of those two qualities.
It's kind of got the double helix shape going
right,
to it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about limiting beliefs that you find are common in the character category. Now, last month we talked about the limiting belief that I am a bad person. And that could easily apply to character. But I feel like last time, for those who haven't heard that, by the way, go check out the emotional belief clearing. It's in the Lifebook library, mylifebook.com. You might have to do a little digging. You can find it in the archive. It is there. But I feel like the emotional side was more like, I don't deserve happiness, or I don't, which
right.
is an emotion, or I don't love myself, which is an emotion. Character, it would be phrased as, I am a bad person, or I am evil. Is that a pretty common one that you find?
Yes, because children tend to blame themselves for whatever's happening in their childhood, and however the care is being delivered or not delivered to them.
Mm.
And so children take on the idea that they are the cause of the problem. So negative self-image is basically a view of oneself in the negative. It's seeing yourself as a problem, at fault, broken, and not worthy. So character is actually the determination to go to the positive. In fact, I've seen Lifebook has their list of virtues and character qualities, and that comes from the VIA Inventory of Strengths, which was designed by Martin Seligman and Christopher Peterson, who were founders of the positive psychology movement.
Oh, wow.
And they built a character strengths and virtues handbook to counteract the diagnostic and statistical manual of mental disorders. So psychology is traditionally focused on the problems in the mind.
Right.
And they said, well, what about the good qualities? You know, and so they looked at all the different cultures and all the different historical figures who talked about virtues and values and character strengths, and they sort of put together their own qualification and assortment of the different character strengths. So these are basically the positive qualities that we can use to better ourselves, as opposed to the qualities that can be used to tear ourselves down.
Right. What are some common limiting beliefs you run across in the character category? I know one that I've seen a lot is like, oh, I'm going to mess this up because I mess everything up. That's who I am. I am Captain F up. I've seen that a lot. And that's a very, very insidious belief.
Right. Well, in fact, because beliefs create feelings, I was going to suggest that I help your listeners feel into these negative beliefs and what might be a better positive belief. Would you like to do that?
Yeah, certainly.
So close your eyes for a moment and feel what it feels like to hold the belief, I am weak. Mm. Even if you don't believe it, just try it on like you're trying on an outfit of clothing. And notice what happens to your body. It sort of takes your strength away. It's like kryptonite for Superman, right? Mm-hmm. So that belief alone will cause you to have less strength. So now throw that one away, just toss it out, and feel what it feels like to hold the belief, I am courageous.
Mm-hmm. Much, much better.
So there you have, you know, a negative self-image and a positive self-image, which we would call a character strength. So you can cultivate character strengths by practice. That's, in fact, how you develop a virtue. This goes all the way back to Aristotle, who said that virtues are qualities that help something or someone fulfill their purpose. Mm-hmm. And he said that the purpose of humans, of human beings, is eudaimonia. That's the Greek word, which is usually translated as human flourishing.
Right, or success at life.
That's right. That's right. A good life, the good life. So so he said that virtues need to be practiced in order to be honed, like you would hone a knife that's dull in order to make it sharp.
And become a habit eventually.
Exactly. Exactly. And the habit is a behavior that you do over and over again in order to gain a strength and that quality.
Mm-hmm. You know, something just struck me, because if all beliefs are self-affirming, and you have a belief about yourself, like I am weak or I'm going to F this up, are you kind of sealing your fate? If you have the belief, I'm going to F this up, are you going to reaffirm that belief by effing it up purposefully, whether it's conscious or not? Am I making sense here?
Absolutely. Because, for example, that feeling, I am weak, if you feel that way and you're walking around that way, then you will behave in that way.
And become
that's your internal feeling.
Yeah.
So you become it. Become it by repeated actions. Now, anyone at any time can change their belief and change their actions, their behavior, and make the positive character strength their value in their life, which is really what Lifebook's all about, and can watch out for their own shadow or vices, which are the opposite or the extreme of the virtues that you're trying to cultivate. And really, cultivation is a good word, because you cultivate a garden, right? You have to dig around the soil, and you have to plant and water the plants and fertilize it and
give it
weeds.
Love.
So
it's
a process. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Give it love. Yeah. So when you love yourself, you are cultivating your positive qualities, your character strengths.
Let me make an argument for why character beliefs are the most important. You always talk about forming these beliefs when you are a young child. That's when you form the beliefs of who you are as a person. And that forms the foundation for everything. I've brought this up a couple times, a little piece of Lifebook trivia. My dad almost put character as the first category. So that just kind of that gives credence to the argument, what I just said there. Gives credence to the argument that character beliefs are the most important. What do you think about that statement?
Well, character beliefs are usually starting with I am. So what are you? You know, what is your image of yourself? So I would agree that that's where it all starts. Mm-hmm. Your image of yourself, your abilities, your skills, your strengths, what you're cultivating, where your focus is. So absolutely, it is at the core of our developmental pathway.
Before we begin this clearing and start getting rid of those stinky old beliefs, what kind of virtues do you like? What kind of virtues can you share? Just a couple of them. Can you share that my listeners might not have in their life book, might not have thought of? And just kind of what are your favorites?
Well, my wife, Carista, and I have worked on this virtues assessment that we've created. And one of the things we do is we talk about how there are head, heart, and gut virtues. So we kind of put them into three categories. And the head virtues are wisdom, the wisdom virtues, like knowledge, a discernment.
Curiosity.
curiosity, love of learning, right? And then there are the heart virtues, which are the more emotional virtues, things like love and forgiveness. Mm. And then there are the gut virtues, which are the strength or will virtues.
Resilience.
Like strength,
right.
Right, resilience,
grit.
Exactly. So so that's how we look at them. And ideally, we're working on all three levels, the head, the heart, and the gut, or the will. And by doing that, you get a balanced life. And look, it's a long life we have to develop these character strengths. And there's challenges in life, right? So sometimes you're working at cross purposes to yourself, or sometimes you get triggered and you do something negative. Well, that's where the character strength of forgiveness and repair come in. Like, how quickly can you repair from a stumble? We all have stumbles. We all have barriers and blocks and negative beliefs. That's why I teach people how to clear their beliefs, because when you can clear it from the foundation, from the deep subconscious mind, it just doesn't come back. And you have the ability to then create a positive belief that moves you forward.
Lasting change, right?
Exactly.
I'm sure that people are going to love this clearing, and they're going to be wondering, where can I find out more? Why don't you give out your information, Lion, and where they can find you?
An easy place is www.lifebookcybebook.com. CYB stands for Clear Your Beliefs. So it's lifebookcybebook.com. And if they're interested in my training for coaches, therapists, healers, and people who want to self-develop, that would be lifebookcybprogram.com. And that'll get information about my 12-week training called the Clear Beliefs Coach Training.
Oh, love it. All right, Lion, thank you so much for doing this. And everybody out there, please enjoy the clearing.
It's my pleasure, Jordan. Thanks.
I'm sure you've heard this quote. It's been attributed to many people, including Buddha, but no one knows who said it first. Watch your thoughts, for they become words. Watch your words, for they become actions. Watch your actions, for they become your habits. Watch your habits, for they become your character. And watch your character, for it becomes your destiny. Now, we should be sure to add that we should also watch our emotions, because when we react negatively, our emotional reactions turns into words, sometimes not so nice, and it can get you into a lot of trouble. And of course, we should also watch our diet and exercise, because our body and gut health affect our mood and our brain functioning. And we all have habitual thoughts and habitual feelings that come up over and over, and much of our behavior is habitual too. And our behavior in the world gets seen by other people and judged and labeled, and that becomes what is known as our character, and it impacts our reputation. So all of these concepts are interrelated. In my search for answers in this area, I kept asking the same question over and over. This was my habit of thought. What's underneath that? And what's underneath that? And underneath that? It drove me to study everything I could about psychology and neurology and philosophy and the sciences. I wanted to understand the first principles of life, the underlying structure of the universe and society and people. And of course, my favorite topic, me. I wanted to understand myself. So I asked the question, what is the nature of human nature? And I've been lucky to have had wonderful teachers all along the way. What I discovered over those decades of exploration was that the most important first principle, the one underneath all of our glorious and ridiculous human nature, was our beliefs, what I call the infrastructure of our human mind. As I've said before, I'm not talking about what you believe at the conscious level, like I believe in God, or I believe in free will, or I believe there should be equal treatment of all people. I'm talking about the subconscious beliefs, the structures we put together to live and get along with other people and to function in the world and survive and thrive. This process of identifying patterns starts when we're still in the womb. Our developing brains are trying to understand our environment, how to interact with it, and how to survive within that environment. To understand beliefs, think about scaffolding, the structures made of steel and wood that are used to build a tall building or repair something on a floor way above the ground. You put up the scaffolding so you can do the work that's needed. Once the work is done, you take the scaffolding down so it doesn't interfere with the people using the building. That's what the mind does. It looks around at what's happening, tries to figure out how to interact with what's happening, creates a structure, and tests it to see whether it works or not. If it doesn't work, the mind tries something else, and then something else, replacing one scaffolding with another until something works. And then bang, it sticks with that structure, and it goes on to solve the next problem. The difference between workers on a building and the mind is that the workers know that they should take down the scaffolding when they're done. The human mind thinks that it might be useful later, so it stores all the scaffolding in the subconscious mind. It never gets rid of it. Now imagine you're an infant and you feel uncomfortable. You need to be cared for by those big giant people that sometimes offer their help, your parents or caregivers. So you try to communicate. You whimper. Nobody comes to help you. You make a sound because sometimes that works. Nobody comes. You cry out. Still no loving care. You shake your body and make a fuss. Nothing. So you escalate and you scream as loudly as you can. And suddenly there are warm hands picking you up, changing your diaper, feeding you warm milk, and rocking you. Ah, you feel better. Now you can relax. You just added the loud scream to your repertoire of things that work to get cared for. If this scenario happens often enough, it becomes your habit, your go-to strategy for getting cared for. That's what I'm calling a belief. If I do this, I get this. Or if I do this, sometimes I get this. And the repeated behavior becomes a habit when there's positive feedback, when you get what you want, even every once in a while. Now this belief, if I scream loudly, I'll get my needs taken care of, is a good belief for that baby. She figured it out, and in her world, it works. Some people never take the scaffolding down. You probably know one or two adults who are still screaming to get their needs met. That becomes their character. So that's how we form our subconscious beliefs as we grow up. And it all depends on what we try and what works and the feedback we got from others. Since we need to survive, we have a natural tendency to believe whatever our elders and betters tell us and show us by their behavior, which we copy. By the time we're 5 to 7 years old, our primary responses to the world, our personality, is pretty well set. It takes a lot of work, the kind of work you're doing here at Lifebook, to make changes in your infrastructure, in the belief filter you formed over your lifetime. The beliefs you formed in childhood and young adulthood are underneath your thoughts, your emotions, your reactions, your choices, and your behavior. If you want to change anything, start by changing your beliefs. We could say that your character is composed of your self-identity beliefs, the ones that start with "I am." When you describe yourself and start with "I am," you are saying what you are and who you are, and how you show up in the world. Once we learn who you are, or at least who you believe yourself to be, we've got a pretty fair idea of how you're going to behave and the characteristics and qualities that you'll show up with in this world. Here are some examples of self-identity beliefs. I am pretty. I am homely. I am okay looking. I am honest. I am strong. I am afraid of other people's opinions of me. I am funny. I am sensitive. I'm a hard worker. I'm confused a lot of the time. I am trying to get better. I am a parent. I am sloppy. I'm a procrastinator. I am a loving wife or husband. I am angry at times. Now, each "I am" statement you make shows how you see yourself, and when you say it to others, you're giving them a way of knowing you and knowing what they can expect in your behavior. We all tend to see ourselves in negative and positive terms. We judge some of our characteristics as better or morally superior than others. We believe that it's better to be kind than to be mean. It's better to be healthy than sick. It's better to be good than bad. Let's examine this in more depth and do a powerful exercise so you can see your own self-identity beliefs. Get out a piece of paper and a pen, or open a new document or note on your computer or phone. You're going to write down some of your self-identity beliefs. This is a writing exercise, and if you think you can just do it in your head, you can't. Our thoughts swirl around in our mind like dust in the wind. They don't become real until they're brought into this world in some way. And writing them down solidifies them and makes them real. So do the writing, and if you're not in a place where you can do the writing, please come back to this exercise when you can. I'll give you a few seconds to set up your document. Pause the recording if you need more time. Okay, are you ready? You're going to begin by saying to yourself, "When I am at my worst, I am," and then write down as many beliefs as you can. Think of all the negative characteristics you have, the ones you judge yourself for, and you probably judge others for having them too. Don't try to filter them or hide them. Nobody's going to look at this list other than you. This is a moment for self-honesty, to really look at the qualities you judge as negative, bad, or less than ideal. Don't spend a lot of time thinking about it. Just write down as many as you can. Just keep saying over and over again, "When I am at my worst, I am," and then fill in the blank. You have about 30 seconds, and stop the recording if you need more time. Go ahead and start now. Say to yourself, "When I am at my worst, I am," and then let whatever comes to mind be the next thing you write down. For example, "I am sloppy. I am a jerk." Write down as many as you can in the next 30 seconds. Okay, put your pen down or take your hands off the keyboard. Now look over this list of negative qualities as if someone else had written it and handed it to you for you to get to know them. Take a moment to do that and watch how you feel as you read them over. Okay, great. If you met someone and they describe themselves in this way, would you say you knew their character? Could you predict their behavior in most normal circumstances? And the big question, would you want to be friends with them? Probably not. This list expresses the person you're afraid you are. When you believe these things about yourself, you don't like yourself. Your behavior might get aggressive or mean or defensive. Or you might hide yourself or close yourself off so that nobody discovers this truth about you. The feeling that you're bad or wrong or broken in some way is called shame, and it's one of the most toxic emotions there is. It's based on negative self-beliefs, and we'll come back to these beliefs in a few minutes. Next, we're going to do the opposite exercise. Say to yourself, "When I am at my best, I am," and then write down as many qualities as you can without editing them or holding any back. Give yourself permission to list your wonderful qualities, the ones that you show when you're operating at your best. What do you express when you feel great about yourself and about others, when you feel really good? Go ahead and write down as many "I am" beliefs as you can in the next 30 seconds. And if you need more time, just pause the recording. Terrific. Okay, now look over this list. If you met someone and they described themselves in this way, would you say that you knew their character? Could Could you predict their behavior in most normal situations? And would you want to be friends with them? You probably would. What a great friend they'd be. When you are expressing your best qualities, you're the kind of person you've always wanted to be and always wanted to be around. We call these positive qualities virtues. So let's talk about virtues for a minute, because they're the key to the development of your character. A virtue is usually defined as, quote, excellence in morals, good habits, a character trait or quality valued as being good, unquote. Aristotle defined it as a quality that allows a thing to succeed at its purpose. The virtues of a knife, for example, are sharpness and strength. It allows it to operate as a knife successfully. The virtues of a racehorse are speed and stamina. The word is derived from the Latin virtutum, meaning moral strength, manliness, valor, excellence, and worth. Notice that womanliness is not included, but of course it should be, so let's add it. In order for us to identify the virtues of a human being, we would need to know what our purpose is. Aristotle wrestled with this question by asking, how should people live? It was really a practical question, not just a theoretical one. And he concluded that the purpose of human beings is eudaimonia. That's a Greek word that's been translated in many different ways, for example, well-being, happiness, blessedness, or human flourishing. Now, he's not referring to a personal state of mind, such as the good feeling you get from indulging in pleasurable activities, but rather the outer collective state that people feel when they're living a good life. It expresses the happiness of an intact family, a community, or the society as a whole. Aristotle said that this was the proper goal of human life, and it produces a good society where everyone is cared for, elevated, and feels happy together. Now that we know the purpose of our human life, eudaimonia, we can determine our virtues. The Greek word is arete. Those are the qualities which would allow us to fulfill our purpose. Virtues exist as dormant potential inside of us. In order to come out, they must be practiced and cultivated. Think of a horse that's born with the right genes. He has the biological potential to become a champion racehorse. But he's not going to win any races unless he's exercised and trained to express those qualities on the racetrack. It's exactly the same with us. Our virtues are our best qualities, hiding inside of us, waiting to be exercised. Once they are exercised repeatedly, when we build those good habits, they get expressed in the world, and we are seen as a person with great character. When we practice our virtues and hone them, we produce happiness in ourselves, in those close to us, in the community, and also the society around us. At every moment of our lives, we have the ability to choose how we respond to what's happening. For example, I just got insulted or cut off in traffic. Do I get mad and seek revenge? Or do I understand that they're stressed and forgive them? I have this half of a cake in the refrigerator. Do I give in to my desires and indulge in eating the whole thing? Or do I remember my commitment to being healthy and decide to practice temperance? Then I can enjoy a small slice, knowing that there are consequences, positive or negative, for every choice I make. Now, I like to say that the soul is made of virtues. Your unique soul is a composition of particular virtues, those qualities that you wrote down that describe you when you were at your very best. If you want to live an extraordinary life, a life book inspired life, bend your behaviors toward your virtues by practicing them as often as you can. And because you're human, you'll slip up from time to time. Be understanding with yourself. Understanding is a virtue. And be kind to yourself. Kindness is a virtue. And learn from your mistakes. Learning is a virtue too. Apply those virtues to yourself and to your behavior and to others. And as you bring yourself more and more into alignment with your unique virtues, the ones that are important and meaningful to you, you'll make better choices. And you'll be expressing your virtuous nature in everything you do. This is the way to build your character and a great life. I've done this exercise with thousands of people around the world, and you know what? No one has ever been all negative, and no one has ever been all positive and virtuous. If you have qualities on both sides, it turns out that you are part of a very big club. It's called the human race. Because you're human, you have the potential for virtue, and you also have the potential for its opposite, which is called vice. Vices are qualities that do the opposite of virtues. They create unhappiness, imbalance, pain, and suffering in oneself, in one's family, community, or society. And just like virtues, vices are in us as dormant potential, and they can be exercised and honed and practiced through your choices and behavior. And they can become habits too, because humans are habitual creatures. You can examine any behavior or choice you're about to make and ask the question, is this going to create more happiness, joy, and health in me and others? Or is it going to create more unhappiness, pain, and suffering in me and others? You have free will, so you can choose. And if you don't make your choice consciously by thinking about the consequences and your intention for your life, you'll be choosing unconsciously. Because you're human, you have unconscious tendencies built into your DNA and your brain and your cultural programming. Now, your animal nature has millions of years of practice, and it will drive you toward whatever appears to be helpful to your survival. It might be going with a crowd and doing whatever they do so that you can belong, which is a primary strategy for survival. Or you can choose to do what's easiest or most pleasurable, or convenient, or expedient. To your brain, that's a great strategy. It preserves your energy for whatever might happen next. Or you can go with whatever gives you a sense of safety and security, which is a primary drive in all animals. So if hiding kept you safe as a child, you're likely to keep hiding. If being a mean bully allowed you to survive, you'll keep doing that. It's not easy to go against our natural instincts and habits. For example, responsibility is hard. Being irresponsible is really easy. Generosity can be tough sometimes, but selfishness is natural, and it keeps you alive. Perseverance in the face of difficulty is really hard, but quitting is easy, and it makes the pain stop. Another thing that makes the pain stop is drugs and alcohol. But then later, quitting drugs and alcohol is really hard. Learning requires study, which is difficult, but ignorance requires no effort whatsoever. Now, I love this saying, which really summarizes this difficulty of choosing. Not everything that feels good is good for you, and not everything that feels bad is bad for you. Think about it. How often do you choose things that feel good, but they don't turn out to be so good for you? I keep thinking about that chocolate cake in the refrigerator. And how often do you choose to do something that feels bad, like going to the gym, or cleaning out the garage, or doing your taxes, that turn out to actually be good for you? Let's turn now to clearing some of your negative self-beliefs. Bring that first list out and take a look at it. From our discussion so far, you can see that some of these beliefs might actually be true some of the time. You might be selfish at times or mean, but they're certainly not true all of the time. Children grow up thinking that the world comes in black and white. There are good guys and bad guys. Vegetables are bad, cake is good. You act like a good kid and mom and dad give you approval. You act bad and you get punished. It's a simplified rule book. And rules make us feel safer. When you have a rule, you know what's going to happen, and that reduces our natural built-in anxiety. To the brain, not knowing is dangerous, and knowing is safe. That's why knowing something gives us comfort, even if it isn't true. As we grow up, most of us find that the world is not so black and white. There are not only hundreds of shades of gray, there's also thousands of colors. Rigid rules start looking ridiculous. You have to be home at 10, young lady, because you're only 13. And what sense does that make? We rebel because we start questioning our parents' authority over us. Their rules don't make sense in a world where there are thousands of different rules. And children are getting exposed to more and more of the world earlier and earlier, so one set of rules, even if strictly adhered to in the family or community, are just one choice among many. Now, of course, we all know many adults that still see the world in black and white. A fundamentalist is someone who believes in fundamental rules and truths that are right and always true and inviolable, and anything other than those rules are false and always wrong. Now, this applies to any kind of fundamentalism: religious fundamentalism, political fundamentalism, racial or moral or cultural, even scientific fundamentalism. We are designed to grow and mature through our experiences, and we're supposed to become more tolerant of others, which is a virtue, more understanding of others, another virtue, and more compassionate, another very important virtue. If you miss that growth and development, your mind continues to operate the way it did as a child. Now, given all this, take a look at that list of terrible, bad, no good qualities you have when you're at your worst, and pick the worst one, the one you don't want anyone to know about, the one you hide, the one you're most ashamed of. Go ahead and pick it now. What's your worst characteristic, your worst quality? Now, say it out loud to yourself, if you're in a safe space to do that, like not on the subway or in the middle of a family dinner. For example, if your belief is, I am evil incarnate, you wouldn't want to say that in front of the children or in mixed company. Save it for the privacy of your own home when you're alone. Now, one of the things that keeps a belief stuck in us is our resistance to it. We don't want to believe it about ourselves. We don't want others to believe it about us. So we push it down into the subconscious so it doesn't accidentally slip out. We do everything we can to prove it's not true. And we certainly don't want to feel it. That would be bad, and it would mean it's true. Remember, whatever you resist persists. Here's a trick to clearing almost anything. Own it fully as your own creation. I am that. I did that. I created that. It's called responsibility, taking full responsibility for your reality. There's a special way of owning your creation without believing that the belief is true. You recognize that it's just a belief. It has no inherent truth value. And this clearing process is based on that principle. Okay, are you ready? Here we go. Take a couple of breaths and center yourself. You may want to close your eyes if it's safe to do so. Don't do this exercise while you're driving or doing anything that requires your full attention. Just relax and center yourself. Okay, take this most negative belief. You're going to use this one throughout this exercise. For example, if yours is, I am a sinner, you'll use that one when I use my example. And after we complete the exercise on this belief, you can go back and take your other beliefs through the same process and clear them one by one. Our goal is to clear it completely so there's no feeling or charge left. When you go through this exercise, take it all the way until you get to that goal. Okay, start by saying the belief out loud. I'll use this example. I am a horrible person. So I'm going to say the belief and then feel the experience of believing it as if it's 100% true. I am a horrible person. Okay, now my experience is that it makes me want to curl up and withdraw, my shoulders hunching forward, my neck's hunching forward, my head's dropping down. I feel this kind of pit in the center of my solar plexus, and I'm just kind of curling into it. I'm sort of like a, the Wicked Witch of the East out in the Wizard of Oz. Okay, so your belief is likely to create an uncomfortable or painful or scary feeling too. But remember, you're just trying it on. It's like trying on a scary Halloween mask in a store. You know it's just a mask, so you can try it on, look in the mirror, and really feel how horrible it is because you know it's not you. This is the same thing. Say the belief out loud and feel it as if it's true so you can feel it fully in your body. Go ahead and do that now. And hang out there for a while. Another part of you knows that it's just a costume and that you're trying it on to see how it feels. So really feel it as if it's 100% true and feel what it feels like to believe it. Once you really get to know how it feels and you can describe it, you can take it off and set it aside. Okay, now you know the feeling that this belief has been creating inside of you, which you might have felt in the back of your mind or just below the surface, like a little itch you can't scratch. Or you might have felt it from time to time when you act in a certain way. Now, if you were able to hang out with the belief and feel it fully in your body, congratulations, you owned it at the feeling level. Now we're going to go deeper. Our goal is to slowly dissolve that feeling until it's not there anymore. The next step is to own your creation of that belief. What you'll say out loud is, I am the belief, I am a horrible person. You'll substitute your belief. You would say, I am the belief, and then the belief you chose from your list. For example, I am the belief, I am a sinner. And say it just like that. I am the belief, and then you say the statement. I am the belief, I am a horrible person. And say it again, say it a few times, and really own it as your creation. I am the belief, I am a horrible person. And feel what it feels like to say that. It's likely to be a little strange because your mind won't know what to do with it. And that's actually a good thing. This is real ownership and responsibility. You're owning that it's your belief. So what does it feel like to say that? I am the belief, and then your belief. Okay, good. Now we're going to check the work, check to see whether it had the impact we're looking for. Say the belief alone, as you did in the first step. I would say, I am a horrible person, and then feel what it feels like to hold that belief. Try it now. Now, you probably noticed that the feeling wasn't as bad or as uncomfortable as the first time you said it. And that's what we're looking for, making the feeling lighter and lighter until it's gone completely. Now come back to the phrase, I am the belief, and fill in the blank. And say that a few more times with commitment and really feel it as true. Okay, good. Now come back to the original statement. For example, for me it would be, I am a horrible person, and feel whether it has the same charge, or it's lighter, or it might even be heavier. If there's no charge whatsoever, it just feels like empty words, congratulations, you've cleared the belief. You've integrated it into your higher consciousness. You know without a doubt that it's just a belief and that you created it. And if you created it, you also have the power to destroy it or uncreate it. If you still feel some charge, keep going. Say, I am the belief, and then say your belief a few more times until you really feel it's part of you. Then say the belief by itself and check how much charge, how much emotional reaction it has. Then go back to the I am statement and back and forth until all the charge is gone. And it feels just like saying meaningless words. You could be saying, I am the orange box on the sidewalk. It has no meaning or feeling attached to it. If you've completed the exercise, recognize that you just cleared a belief that may have been bugging you for years or decades. Now you have the great opportunity to do that with all of your negative beliefs, clearing them one by one until they're completely neutralized. And after that, you can begin practicing your virtues. Bring them into all parts of your life. Practice, 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 until they become habits of thought, habits of feeling, and habits of behavior. You'll see the results show up in your life. People will like you more, trust you more, give you more responsibility, and you'll be happier. Please add your comments below. I'd love to hear how this was for you and what results you achieved. Share yourself boldly. Remember, you're fully human and you're beautiful. There's nothing wrong with you, and if you believe there is, just clear that belief. Feel free to write to me directly at liongoodman@gmail.com and visit my website about beliefs, www.lifebookcybprogram.com. CYB is for clear your beliefs. lifebookcybprogram.com and also liongoodman.com. I'm signing off until next month, and I send you my best wishes for a virtuous life of eudaimonia.